God, you're good to us. We're thankful, oh God. Praise God. We really are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Appreciate everything up to this moment. Amen. Just the good presence of God. And again, I didn't want to hold anyone back if there was anyone left that wanted to say a word for the Lord. Praise God. Amen. God's so good. All right. Hallelujah. God likes hearing from His kids too, doesn't He? Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, I know it's Tuesday, and it's been a long week. But if you'll indulge me for a couple of moments, I'll do my best to talk before I fall asleep. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning of verse 1. Amen. We just want to again welcome everyone that's with us. It's good to see Brother Roten in the room tonight. And I already had that song selected, Brother Roten, so we didn't go grab the song just because we saw you popping in. So it was in the queue already. So I hope you were blessed by yourself. Amen. Singing. Amen. Sometimes we need to hear ourselves sing. And sometimes we need to hear ourselves testify. And sometimes we need to hear ourselves speak victory. And not that anyone listening tonight is discouraged, but I'm just saying, sometimes we just need to realize, hey, I was happy once. And I'm saying stuff that's ministering now to me. And it's me talking. So you can't fight with that. You might want to argue against somebody else and say, well, that's them. You don't know what I'm going through. But when it's you talking to you, you can't fight yourself. Because then you need medical help, right? And praise God. And so you have to just kind of swallow and say, yeah, that's, well, praise the Lord. Amen. But we're glad to see Brother Roten with us tonight, and Sister Linda Martinez from Tennessee, and several others in there. They're still with us tonight. Amen. And Sister Linda is joining us online tonight. She is ill, so keep her in prayer. But she is with us in service, and we appreciate that. 1 Thessalonians 5. Amen. I was having a good time before service started, playing songs and chatting with all the church people back there at the sound table. Become a little congregation. I think we'll put a coffee pot back there, Brother Bradley. Praise God, some donuts. Praise God. But just playing some old memories, and we're so thankful. In fact, last night, Carol and I fell asleep to listening to Brother Rutledge's dad preaching, and it was the irony of it, Brother Bradley, was that he talked about, he was encouraging people to get a hold of tape ministry. And this is decades ago when tapes were fresh. He's like, get a hold of these tapes. That's what they're there for. That's why we're doing this, to be a blessing. So you can hear the Word of God and continue to bless yourself. And I was like, thank you. And that was about the last thing I remember. But I was like, you know, that's why we're doing what we're doing. And now in today's technology, we're able to put it online so that it plays for lifetimes. Lifetimes. Praise God. Apostolic truth, apostolic memories, amen, and worship and praise and glory, hallelujah, so that when we do get concerned about stuff we see sometimes, amen, we're there to say, hello, amen, Jesus is still a rock, His name's still above every name, He's still one God, He hasn't dissected Himself, amen, what they say in the world of religion is still isn't true, amen, He's still right, this is still happening, amen. Amen. And all the other great stuff that comes. We're influencing at least half the people on our email list at goodpreaching.com are not people that we know of that are aware of the truth that we know. I'm talking about the full understanding. I believe they're on their way. So I'm saying, and I'm thankful for that. Not everyone that's at Good Preaching is necessarily yet baptized in Jesus' name or has a full understanding of what we're going to sort of be talking about tonight. In the Word of the Lord. But the fact that they're there means we have the opportunity to make an impact. Amen? All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thank you for standing through my few minutes of ramble. Praise God. I figure if I get it out of my system now, when I get old, yeah, there won't be a whole lot. I'll have gotten it out. And I'll just actually read the Scripture. Praise God. Amen. It's like somebody, you know, we sometimes wake up and we bowl over and we kind of, oh, you know, I'm just practicing for when I get old so that I'll be good at it when I get there. Amen? All right. Hallelujah. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. If you want to talk about some things yet to come that he's addressing versus things pertaining to now, it's nice to know that heaven's not going to catch us by surprise. When we arrive there, we're going to be like, yep, I expected to be here. Praise God. Amen. Maybe some will be like, whew, I made it. Praise God. But at least you are striving for it. It shouldn't be all that much of a surprise. Amen. Ye are all children of the light, verse 5, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Amen. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that means whether we're alive or we're dead, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. If you'll indulge me just a moment, flip to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm also going to begin reading at verse 1 as well. Bear with me just a moment. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, this is what we do here, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, sheweth himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. One more verse of scripture. Just turn the page to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Hallelujah. Thank you for standing. Amen. It's standing almost as long as they do in the conferences. Praise God. But if I, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Man, I simply just want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes on two mysteries. Hallelujah. Two mysteries. Would you lift your hands to God one more time? God, I need your help tonight. Lord, we all need your help to receive a word that's totally from God, that has no private interpretation, God, no carnality attached to it, just a concern. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, to believe the word of God, and by that, Lord, by that same word, be saved. Jesus, hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name, oh God, touch us in an hour when many hearts are waxing cold. People, God, are forgetting, Lord, and they're turning aside and to be carried about by every wind of doctrine, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We do not want that day to overtake us. In Jesus' name, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. God's so good. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Amen. Good stretch of the legs. Praise God. I want to read to you just one more passage of Scripture, Galatians chapter 5. I want to begin reading here in verse 19. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5. Love the Word of God, don't you? Amen. If we lose our love for the Word, then there's a mystery at play. That's just not the right one. Praise God. Mystery is defined as something that needs a revelation to be understood, at least partially. When we think of a mystery, we think of something that is unsolved, something that is unknown. And when the word mystery is applied to Scripture, it's one of those things that it's a kind of a two-sided definition. It's like a two-sided coin. Part of it is the unknown, but on the other side of it, when God is talking about, especially when it's the mystery of godliness, it creates this sense of adventure and discovery. When he says, great is the mystery of godliness, and that's a mystery we want to know about. The other one we read about is one we don't want to know about. And we definitely don't want it working within us. We sometimes say concerning some that have fallen away, I don't understand. In other words, we could have said it like this, it's a mystery. How did that happen? Well, even when they were coming to church, when the mystery is afoot, it's working. And there's something working that when we go aground, when we run aground, that spirit has never one time not exposed itself as something sitting in the temple of God, which temple we are. It has never not expressed that it is God. Because there are people who have believed that they were hearing from God who disobeyed God. Adam and Eve goes all the way back to the first deception. They believed the lie. That what they were believing was, God lied to me. Because God said, this is something you do not need to eat of, and when you do, you'll die. But the enemy said, you won't die. He's lying to you. He didn't say he's lying to you in those words, but he did say it. When he said, you won't die. And he's trying to hide something from you. And so many people have gone through this with the preacher. When the preacher would say to a young preacher, you're not ready to go. And then when that mystery of iniquity works inside, when that desire to still do what you want to do doesn't get crucified, then it'll seek for a way to oppose God and do what it wants to do and override the word that said, if you do it, you'll perish. You'll mess your life up. You'll waste a lot of time and you may not make it back. See, what happens with personal desire and ambition sometimes is that spirit of this world will come and say, the preacher's lying to you. You preach good. You pray good. Good stuff happens. You're ready. Go do it. Praise God. All right. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. I'm in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 for you that may be watching and listening. And now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're exposed. They can be seen. Adultery. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let me just finish the reading. And they that are Christ have crucified. I'm going to replace some words if you don't mind. They that are Christ have crucified the mystery of iniquity with the affections and lusts. If we live in the mystery of godliness, let us also walk in the mystery of godliness. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another. Can you say praise the Lord? Oh, one more time if you will. Let's clap. Praise God. And when Paul was writing to the church and explaining this, we know there's a day coming. Now, we're in a day, but there's a day coming. Praise God. One of the best ways I can say it. Because we're children of the day, which simply means he's using night and day as expressions of the mystery of sin and the mystery of godliness. Or living in the Spirit, being born of God, and or not being born of God. That's what the night represents. It's not talking about physical night or physical day. It's talking about righteousness and unrighteousness. Holiness and unholiness, godliness and ungodliness. When you're writing to the church, and you're writing to church people, you're writing to a people who have escaped the wrath that is to come, and have been baptized into, right, the comfort of the blessing and the glory that shall follow. We have escaped wrath, as we've read already. We're not appointed to wrath. Praise God. And that's one reason to be thankful. One reason to rejoice that when you're born of God, God has appointed you a kingdom. And he has appointed you an heir of that kingdom. And he has appointed you to be an heir of that which is to come and to live forever. That is our appointment. And when we walk with God and we live for God, then we have an appointment with everlasting life that we're going to keep if we walk in the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I read Galatians 5 because I wanted to read things that pertain to the mystery of iniquity and also things that pertain to the mystery of godliness. And what we're doing is simply defining the two and explaining them and breaking them down so that we're not caught unaware by a lot of philosophy that's out there in the so-called traditional end-time Antichrist world. And, you know, you see all these dumb movies or at least previews, you know, trailers for, you know, the Antichrist. You know, I'm not going to get on this very long because I'm almost at closing time. But, you know, if you ever listen to somebody preaching, teaching, talking, or a movie, and all they can express is destruction and death and blood and violence, somebody's got the message wrong. Hallelujah. When we talk in the church about the coming of the Lord, it's supposed to be a message of hope, comfort, blessing, glory. Hallelujah. And even when we talk about the wicked being revealed and the man of sin being revealed and we talk about it in the right way, again, the end result is to be a thing of rejoicing and an admonishment so that we do not allow that mystery to work in us. Honestly, the message of Antichrist and Christ is a message to the church and not to the world. Hallelujah. Paul is writing to the church. He's not writing to the sinners on the streets that did not know Christ or have not been born of God. He's talking to church people because there are church people, I say church people, people going to apostolic churches who do not have a love for the truth. We've seen it over and over again, and I'm not here to keep talking about all that because spilt milk is spilt milk. Wipe it up, clean it up, let's go on. Praise the Lord. And I don't mean to sound impersonal, but there are things that we have to just release in the hands of God. And then we, which are alive and remain, we've got to make sure that we're watching and that we're staying sober, meaning we're not becoming drunk with the sinfulness of this world, that we're protecting, that we're keeping our vessel, amen, so that we're consistently in the mystery of godliness, amen. If I want mystery in my life, I want it to be a godly mystery, amen, and not an ungodly mystery. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's part of this mystery that causes people to look at you and wonder what you are and why you are, what makes you tick. It's a mystery. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. The Word of God is so great. I'm not here to say that there's not certain things that could happen someday in a way that people read these verses of Scripture. But in a sense, I highly doubt it. Praise God. Now, I'm not here to present a new doctrine to you tonight, but we know most of the stuff that people talk about when they talk about the man of sin and the Antichrist, and some of you may not know what I'm talking about, and that's great. But you see the inconsistency, and it's always involved with guessing, right? It's all about guesstimation. People are always trying to twist Scripture to try to figure out who he is. Well, look, you know, personally, I don't care. I don't want to know the man of sin. If he's some dude from the other side of the planet, I don't want to know him. And my wife and I are not going to take him out to dinner. I don't want to know about that mystery. I want to know about this one that makes a young lady sing a song and us all worship God and say, man, I wish you had sung it more and more and more. That's the mystery I want to know. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise him. Hallelujah. Because we're children of the day. And we like mystery things that involve the daytime. Praise God. This shouting and this praising and this worshiping and this Holy Ghost power and this ability to overcome the world. Amen. More than conquerors through him that loved us. That's the mystery I want to know. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. We have power over all the power of the enemy. Amen. Amen. If Hollywood's making a movie about what they read in Scripture, you got to believe it's wrong. 9.9 times out of 10, it's wrong and based upon theory and not fact. We've seen Antichrist here many times. Amen. And you'll become one if your spirit becomes a spirit of error. Just not like something the pastor preaches. Praise God. And I'm not saying I'm anything. I'm not anything. But Christ is everything. Jesus is the pastor. He's the bishop and shepherd of all of our souls. And when we relay the word of the Lord, if we don't want that word of God and we want to go another way and we're struggling with stuff that we have the authority of God to crucify, then we're going to be in trouble. And I don't want to be in trouble. Amen. So I'm talking here tonight and I'm on my way down. I know there's a lot that we can be said, but the great thing about a message being short is we don't have all that theory to talk about. So we get to go home and get a good night's sleep. And not be here because we're turning pages of prophets trying to figure him out and try to teach something that isn't into the Word of God. Amen? Praise God. God, sir, I thank God for his Word, don't you? I thank God for his Word. I don't want to be deceived. And how many times have we read in Scripture, be not deceived? Don't be deceived. Praise God. See, there's a spirit in this world, and we read it in these two books. There's a spirit that wants to be God. And he wants to be your God. And he wants to appear in your temple that he's God. You can't give him a seat. Said to the church, dealing with some stuff within the church in Asia and all those assemblies. And at one point the Lord spoke and said, I know where Satan's seat is. Now try making a movie about that. But you're holding on. You're pressing toward the mark. You're living godly. The mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Why is it written like that? I've always grabbed that verse of Scripture and kind of thought, now why did he say the first part? You know, I get that God was manifest in the flesh, but what does that have to do with the mystery of godliness? It's in the same verse. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And why was he manifest in the flesh? Because he was coming to bring us godliness. Hallelujah. He was coming to bring us holiness. He was coming to allow that flesh, that humanity, that veil, that seed of Abraham, amen, that promise of God throughout Holy Scripture to be nailed to a cross to taste death for every man, that he might bring us to godliness. And that's mystery. It's mystery that they're still trying to figure out today, how God could be manifest in the flesh, take flesh to Calvary, raise it up, glorify, and still be God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad about this tonight. I'm glad about this mystery. The mystery of how we as people who were raised in unrighteousness, we were formed in unrighteousness and in ungodliness, but yet we were allowed to escape. We were given the power and the authority to crucify a mystery out of our lives and to keep it out of our lives. And Paul writes and says, well, I just told you what will happen when you know he'll be revealed. And you got to read the scripture a little closer so that you don't think he's particularly talking about some man of sin. It's man of sin. And he said, I'll tell you what this is when it'll be revealed. It's when we allow, when we let that mystery work in us, the man of sin is revealed. And that man, that spirit of disobedience, and that devil, and all that he represents shows up. How many people think today who have walked away from God that they're happy? They're happier now than they've ever been. That's deception. Free from this legalistic and bondage-filled church. I'm so glad I'm free. Free. Free to do what? Die lost? That's not free indeed like Jesus is talking about. Praise God. Look, we don't have to worry about don't spend your whole lifetime studying the news and world conditions to figure out when he's coming back. You have a better indicator of that, amen, than watching the news. I don't have to watch the news to know Jesus is coming. Amen. I don't have to watch the news to keep my spirit right so that when he splits the eastern skies, they like to say that we'll be going. Praise God. I don't have to see it. Look, world events have been happening ever since Jesus walked the earth. He said there'll be wars, rumors of wars, people hating one another, all sorts of stuff going on, but the end is not yet. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. He's saying don't use those things as indicators. Praise God. Walk with God. Live for God. We've got enough indication in the Holy Ghost to know when it's time. Amen. To know that the time is short and that day is drawing near. Amen. God gives us nudges in prayer and in our worship and makes us aware, amen, globally that I'm coming. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Would you clap your hands to the Lord one more time? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. There's so much in that. I love the mystery of godliness. Amen. That's why we preach what we preach to a lost and dying world. I'm going to go to Revelation 22 as I close. Praise God. Because there are people in the world today that do not understand how they can become godly in a religious world and in an ungodly world where people are taught that you can't be perfect, that you can't be free from sin. They're taught by the spirit of error. They're taught by that antichrist spirit. They're taught by that devil who always says opposite to what God says. When he says you can be free, amen, Satan will come along and make it look like you're free, but what he's saying behind the scenes is you can't be free. Jesus said you can be free. But what do the preachers sometimes say? Well, we all sin. We carry our nature, our sin nature. But thank God for Calvary. And Jesus did it all. And all of our sins, because he did what he did, I can never be lost. They teach a doctrine. Well, let me just read something and I'm finishing with these words. Verse 12, Revelation 22. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be.
Let me read this one more time. And behold, I come quickly. Praise God. That's the only coming that I want to be concerned about. Paul talked about the man of sin and that spirit that wants to sit in your temple and be God, whose coming is after the working of Satan. I don't want to know that coming. I don't want to anticipate that coming. I don't want to look forward to that coming. And I don't want to be involved in it. Do you? No, but I do want to be involved, and I want all of us to be involved in that. Behold, I come quickly. Praise God, because that I come quickly involves us. He's coming for something. Yes, He is. He's coming for His bride. And He's coming for a possession that He purchased. Amen. A possession that says, I want to stay His possession. Amen. I'm buying the truth and I'm not selling out. Praise God. I'm a possession of God. I'm staying a possession of God. Because every possession of God's priceless. Glory, 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 glory. You are more holy than the vessels, amen, in which the son of Nebuchadnezzar took out of the treasure house that belonged to God. And when he started eating and drinking and giving everyone the cups that were in the temple, in the treasury in Jerusalem, but were now in Babylon. So he grabbed it all out of the house of God and started partying and celebrating his false gods. All of a sudden, a hand came on the wall. Praise God. God said, I don't like you touching my vessels. Praise God. My stuff's holy, you unholy sinner. Praise God. He started writing on the wall. He said, you are the vessel of God. Don't you read, my cup runneth over. David's referring to himself and his soul as my cup. Hallelujah. Stay on the right side of the mystery. Praise God. Two mysteries tonight. I could say light and darkness. Praise God. I've already said all that. To stay on the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness, the mystery of godliness. And don't allow don't allow something of this life to get a hold of you so much that you allow yourself to be deceived. Praise God. And it takes you away. See, when you allow the mystery of iniquity to work in your life, it will take you out of the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. That's the way he's talking about, until it takes you out of the way. Now you know what it works. Except there come a falling away first. When there's a falling away, then that which is of sin is revealed. That's all he's teaching. Praise God. That's the truth of what he's saying. Now maybe there is an individual coming someday or not, but who cares? The bigger message is that thing doesn't show up in us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So there he is. Remember, you're vessels of the Lord, your holy stuff. And you're more valuable than those, you know, whatever they call them, cups and vessels that he was partying with. God's vessels. Praise God. Handwriting came on the wall and said, you're done, bud. You ain't going to see sunlight. And here came an army throughout that night. Praise God. Took the son of Nebuchadnezzar out. Why? You just don't. Praise God. He rewards every man according to his deeds. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work as his work shall be. Isn't it amazing, the false spirit of this world? Thank you for staying awake long enough. Praise God. Hallelujah. That the spirit of this world says you can do nothing to be saved. Right? Not of works. They quote Ephesians 2 incorrectly. It's not of works. Jesus, it's Jesus who did it all. You can't do anything to be saved. It's amazing, but the scripture says there's a whole lot we can do to be lost. But there's nothing we can do to be saved. So why is he showing up, and why are we given reward? He's going to reward every man according as his work shall be. If we're not saved by works, I guess it means if you don't have any work, no reward. Hallelujah. Well, I can't do anything. Yes, you can. You can do something to be saved, and you can do something to be lost. Isn't that right? You can follow the spirit of truth, or you can follow the spirit of error. You can either be saved or lost. It all depends on what mystery, amen, is in your eyesight. You let sin work in you, you're going to perish, and he's going to reward you with wrath. Amen. But if you want to obey God, he's going to reward you with glory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you won't be afraid when he says, I'm coming with my reward. You'll be like, woohoo, bring it on. Clap your hands to the Lord together one more time. I'm finishing. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, God's so good. Jesus did everything he needed to do at Calvary so we could do everything we needed to do because of Calvary. And that's the truth of it. There is something that we can do to be saved. That's why he told Cornelius, send for Peter, he's going to tell you what you ought to do. Men and brethren, what shall we do? When you do something, it works. Hallelujah. And repentance and remission of sins in His name is not works of righteousness which we have done. It is works of righteousness He has done. So would you want to harp on, well, Jesus did it all? You're right. He's just waiting for you to obey it. He did do it all. He did what nobody else could do. He made a way that you could escape the spirit of error and the mystery of iniquity and pick up a new mystery in your life. I'm living for God today. I'm free from sin today. I'm not struggling with my flesh today. Praise the Lord. Amen. The enemy's not tempting me today, and I'm not having a bad time. So when I go to church, I get to worship with a free heart, with holding hands, without wrath, without doubting, because everything is okay. Glory. Let's all stand and love Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory unto the Lord, glory unto the Lord, glory unto the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord.
Now, lots of scriptures to go on that last note, but I'm out of time already. Isn't it amazing that the scripture says that Satan is a prisoner of God, reserved in everlasting chains under darkness? And he's so deceived by his own pride and his own sin that he still believes he could be a god. He was never a god, ever. A fallen spirit, imprisoned by God. And yet He wants to sit upon the throne of your heart and convince you. See, it's the same philosophy. I'm finishing. I'm so sorry. It's the same philosophy that when you, it's like the basics of missing church, and I'm not talking to anybody here, including those watching. But it's the thought process that says, I could, if I miss one time, it's okay. You know? Or if I do this, it's okay. I'm all right. I can come back. It's like the Samson deal. He can go, you know, Delilah's purposely trying to kill him. And that's how dumb sometimes we can be. We go right back and put our head in his lap. She wanted to know the secret of his power, his strength. He kept going alive and breaking the ropes and fighting off the Philistines. And you think he'd have a clue. But see what happens when there's a door open for the mystery of iniquity to work. And his weakness was women. Love beautiful women. His parents said, take a wife of the children of Israel, you egghead. You have a vow upon you from birth, you moron. That's why you've got 7 locks of hair. That's why you were able to do the stuff that you do, and God has raised you up to be a deliverer. But he's an idiot. And that door to a mystery was opened of disobedience to God. And he keeps putting his head back in Delilah's lap.
I mean, you want to go back there in time and just bring, grab a board and slap them in the head and say, are you really this stupid, strong, and dumb? But if you keep the door open, see, and play the game, I can miss church once, or I could watch this and get away with it. No. See, it's you just can't do that because you're allowing something to work that is not the same something that has saved you from sin the first time. It's another law that wants to work in your members, because if you say, well, I'll allow this, it's okay, I can get away with it watching it one time, the next time, it just keeps growing. The more you open the door and the more you yield, it grows and grows and grows until it's PG-13, rated R, and then X. That's the way it works, I'm telling you. I'm just using that as an example. Missing church, same thing. All that is, in its essence, the same thing with anything that's ever been a vice for you and a failure for you. If you give in one time, what's happening is it's the mystery. It's the man of sin that wants to work in you and take you away. That's all it is. It's not some heathen on the other side of the planet that slides up, I'm the Antichrist. Millions of children of God, you think we're going to flinch with one guy? Oh, yeah, but the one world system and the computers and all of that. Oh, please, would you just get in the prayer room? Computers are awesome. Yeah, but they're putting chips in people's hands. Yeah, and they're tattooing 666 over people's heads. Yeah, so what? Putting 666 on your forehead, on your backside, your ankle bone, it don't matter. That's not the mark of the beast. It is a symbolic representation of man that was created on the sixth day, who became contaminated with sin, who needs to come out of his sin into a day of rest. Sin is the mark of the beast. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, let's give him a wave offering tonight and lift up our holy hands and hallelujah, thank God. Oh, we're up the mystery of godliness. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm delivered. I'm walking on the bright side. Glory to God. I'm a child of the day and not of the night. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Just give me a few more moments. Sister, could you come back? I'm going to have you sing if you want that song you sang earlier. Praise God. Now watch. I read to you Galatians 5 for this reason, because it represents stuff that Paul is talking about to the church people. Right, to the church people who are being affected by the Jews, some of the Jews who were not converted, but wanted to bring them back under the bondage of Mosaic law, and some that were also converted who believed that they could not be saved. They were telling them, unless you are circumcised, man, amen, in the flesh, you cannot be saved. And then they were bringing them under the bondage again of something that they had come out of. So all of these types of things were happening. And Paul was saying, I'm concerned about some of you, lest I've labored in vain. And he that beguiled Eve has beguiled you. Whosoever you are justified by the law of the flesh, which was not designed to justify, just to bring a knowledge of sin and an awareness of sin, but it could not cleanse you from sin. That if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Praise God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, right? Romans 8:14, they are the sons of God. Not those who follow after carnal commandments and carnal worship, and those who disobey the covenant that has now come through the shed blood of Christ. They who are led of the Spirit, the mystery of godliness, they are the sons of God. And that's something worth celebrating. Take it away.